Spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's dramatic program, The Majority Report, is written by Erwin Gonshack and is one in a series entitled Freedom and Responsibility. The series centers in episodes taken from the career of Moses and the Israelites.
Shamua.
Here.
Shaphat.
Here.
Caleb.
Here.
Igal.
Here.
Nabi.
Here.
Palti.
Here.
Gadiel.
Here.
Amiel.
Here.
Sethur.
Here.
Goel.
Here.
Joshua.
Here.
Gadi.
I stood there before our guide and teacher Moses with my shoulders back, my head high. But in truth, my heart was beating wildly with fear and uncertainty. Who would ever think that I, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, of the tribe of Judah, would be standing with 11 princes of Israel, awaiting instructions from our revered leader? Oh, the doubts that ran through my mind. Was I capable of doing whatever was to be expected of me? And wasn't I the youngest here? So I squinted my eyes and scowled a little to make myself look older.
You are all aware that the tribes of Israel are now encamped on the outskirts of the Promised Land, that we intend to reclaim the lost land of our fathers, and that we intend to do so as soon as possible. What is needed now is an exact report concerning the strength of the cities, the extent of their armies, and to reassure our people, evidence of the fruitfulness of the land.
Our teacher,
Shamua,
wouldn't it be easier if one spy was sent to survey the land instead of 12?
Perhaps. But I think it is very important for each of the tribes to be represented on this mission. The people will then have a greater sense of participation, and therefore more confidence in the report brought back. You represent the elite, even young Caleb, who stands here as a symbol of the new generations. Your words carry great weight with the people. I want you all to go.
Our guide?
Yes, Igal.
there is a question of danger involved in this proposed survey, is there not?
Yes, but risks can be held down to a minimum. For example, do not walk on the highways. Go along the private pathways. When you enter a city, do not slink like thieves in alleyways, but show yourselves in public. And when asked the purpose of your stay, say, we come only to buy some pomegranates and grapes.
Pomegranates.
But Joshua, who is experienced in this type of activity, will give you further instructions.
Moses.
Gadiel.
It is understood that we go with no preconceived notions, and that we will report as accurately and fairly as we can?
I certainly expect that to be the case.
You need have no fear on that score.
Well then, if there are no more questions, I wish you Godspeed.
Certainly I was thrilled to the marrow of my bones to be off to gather information concerning the land of our fathers. I looked around proudly at my companions, all princes of Israel, men of importance, capable of handling so significant a task. And I pinched myself to make sure I was not dreaming, that I was among them. Adventure awaited me. A whole new world was opening before me.
You walk sprightly, Caleb.
I feel so, Joshua.
Good, good. We need men of spirit and enthusiasm on this journey.
I know, Joshua.
You know, the future of our people for many years may well depend on this mission.
It is an awesome responsibility.
You know, Caleb, many of our people are weak of heart. They're afraid of what awaits them in the promised land. Even when Moses says, "Has not the Lord informed you? Has not the Lord said to you, I lead you to a land of milk and honey?" They still look for an excuse to drop the whole thing. The report we return with must bolster their confidence, strengthen their determination.
It's fortunate, then, that we have such a distinguished and respected group to search out the land.
Careful, men. We are now going through Anak territory.
It is said they descend from a race of giants, Egal.
Is that so, Gadiel?
It is, Shemua.
I would very much like to see a giant.
Shh! Caleb, you are young. We are not talking about make-believe giants. We are talking about real giants who may still live in the Negev. Oh, do you hear that? Do you hear that?
There's a giant walk. It sounds like a giant.
Where? Where? I don't see him.
Do you feel his breath? He will blow us to the ends of the world if it is a giant.
Run for your lives! Something approaches that may be a giant!
To the cave, men! It is our only chance if the land is overrun by giants. Run! Run!
Run, Joshua, run!
Well, why should I?
Haven't you heard? The giants! The giants!
Caleb, my young gullible friend, it's a summer rain. Are you afraid to get wet? You see, it has already stopped.
It may have been the sounds of a storm we heard.
It may not have been a giant, then.
Or, if a giant, he went the other way.
Really, the episode of the rainstorm and the giants was comforting to me. It taught me that the elders of Israel were as human as I. They could have fears, they could make mistakes, and they could reverse their opinions. If anything, my confidence in their judgment was strengthened.
What are you doing, Caleb?
Eating grapes. They're delicious. Have one.
Come quickly, man. Caleb is eating grapes.
Aye, grapes. Caleb is eating grapes.
Grapes?
Does he still live? Does Caleb still live?
What are you talking about? Sure, I'm still living.
Oh, miracle of miracles. Caleb still lives.
And for the time being, at least, praise the Lord.
What do you mean? What's wrong with these grapes?
Where did you get these grapes, my boy?
From the farmer down the road. He had a huge harvest.
Well, there's a possibility that the grapes in Canaan are poisonous. Look how rough the land is from where they grew.
But the farmer was eating from the same bunch.
Of course. Living here so long, he would probably become immune to the poison. But that would not be true for us.
What's going on around here, Caleb?
A feast of grapes. Delicious.
Oh, Joshua, don't.
They're Canaanite grapes.
Well, certainly, I know that. We're in Canaan. Delicious.
Whoa. To us. Whoa.
Now we may have lost two.
Two what, Egal? Two grapes? There's plenty more where they came from. This is the land of promise, our father's land. Here, help me, Caleb. We need a pole between us to carry this huge bunch back to camp.
Now, let us not do anything rash. They may be poisonous.
However, if we let some time pass and Caleb and Joshua still live, then we will know that it is safe to take them.
Very good.
I thought to myself, Joshua is impetuous, but not the other 10 princes. They are cautious, They don't believe in taking unnecessary risks. Israel is lucky to have them as scouts to report on the land of our fathers.
Walk gingerly, companions. We're near a city.
Let no one suspect our mission.
Call out our assumed purpose in an innocent manner.
We wish to buy pomegranates.
We wish to buy pomegranates.
Any pomegranates for sale?
Stop.
Oh, can it be?
The walls of the city.
It reaches to the sky.
It is as wide as a river.
It can never be breached.
Woe to us.
Woe to you.
Woe to our children and children's children who will be made orphans by
now
such
stop
a wall.
It. Stop it. Take a good look at that wall.
Yes, Joshua.
It doesn't reach the sky.
No, Joshua.
It isn't as wide as a river.
No, Joshua.
But it's a good wall, nevertheless.
Yes, Joshua.
Well, now listen to me. A walled city tells us a lot of things. One, the people probably felt very insecure, so they built the wall. And I'd bet anything that wall has made them softer inside, just like an overripe pomegranate that collapses when you just put your little finger to it. Now, with the right strategy and the right push, those formidable walls before us could be made to tumble to the ground.
But the wall is high.
And wide.
And strong.
Woe to the orphans of Israel!
And so it went with my fellow spies, one end of the promised land to the other, from the Negev to the borders of Lebanon and Mount Hermon, and eastward to the shore. We saw the hills and the valleys and the plains, the rivers and the lakes, and throughout we all took careful note. We marked well how the Amalekites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites dwelled in the land of our fathers. Yet, I suppose what surprised me most were the two factions which appeared to be developing in our party. The 10 elders on one side and Joshua on the other, and me, well, I guess floundering in the middle somewhere. Time and time again, each would look at the same object in Canaan and see an entirely different thing, be it a giant or a grape or a walled city. Being young and inexperienced, I just didn't know what to make of it.
It is easy to understand, Caleb. Joshua is a warrior and has the bias of that class.
Well, on the other hand, we men of substance look upon events from the standpoint of the entire community. Men, women, and children.
In fact, you know, we are people of some standing within the tribes of Israel.
Yes, I know. I have always looked up to you people, and I felt extremely honored to be selected to accompany you.
So you needn't worry about any differences we may have with Joshua. Our report will be fair and accurate. The plus and the minus will both be equally described.
We will tell of the people, the land, and the walled cities.
Aye, those walls.
Caleb, haven't you learned anything on this trip?
Well, I can tell you a lot about the promised land.
No, not that. The makeup of those 10 others. That's what I mean.
Who am I to judge others, especially my elders?
Well, you have to, Caleb. It's important to.
I've been brought up to respect these people. Weren't they our leaders in Egypt?
Certainly. And they made an accommodation with the slave system. But it was Moses who got us to break away.
What do you want me to do, Joshua?
Just tell what you're seeing on this investigation, that's all.
I'm only one person.
But an important one. You're the future.
Well...
What, Caleb?
It isn't fair, is it, to prejudge the report of the other 10 even before we find out what it is?
Don't you know what they're going to say?
No, I can't say that I do.
How old are you, Caleb?
Almost 18.
Well, grow up, boy. Grow up quickly. You need to.
I thought about what Joshua had told me, and also what the 10 elders had said, and wondered what the outcome would be. I certainly didn't like Joshua telling me to grow up. He could be wrong about the others. He wasn't always right about everything. However, being in the land of my fathers and traversing it from boundary to boundary occupied most of my thoughts and brought me great joy. And before I knew it, the months had passed. Then one morning I heard in the distance the sound of trumpets, heralding our return from the expedition. In single file we marched, carrying back with us the fruits of the land, and we laid them at the feet of Moses and the people of Israel.
Welcome back, princes of our people. We await eagerly the report of the land.
Our teacher and guide, tribes of Israel, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it is good to look upon. Behold the fruit we have brought back, olives, figs, pomegranates. Honey flows from the trees, fat from the fields, milk from the byres.
I shot a look of vindication at Joshua. See, it said, you were wrong about their report. It is factual and true. You were mistaken, Joshua, not I. He looked back without a trace of emotion.
Shamua, remember the walls?
Aye, the walls.
On the other hand...
But still,
nevertheless, it is a land without a Nile. It must be watered. And to water it, there must be water from the sky.
What shall we do if it doesn't rain?
Woe to us if it doesn't rain.
Then no more olives, no more pomegranates, no more figs.
Then no more fat, no more milk, no more honey.
Have you no faith that the Lord who has taken us out of bondage will provide us with water, that with our hands and hearts we will make the land blossom?
Joshua, why did our fathers leave this land before us?
No rain fell from the skies.
From the skies. For this land we left Egypt.
I stood there speechless. I didn't know what to make of this turn of events. This time Joshua looked my way as if to say, didn't I warn you about this?
But we are not finished with the report.
Far from finished.
We have just begun to speak of the horrors of this land.
Pestilence.
Pestilence is everywhere. The land eats up its people. Burials were everywhere. A pestilence on anyone who takes us into that land.
One sneeze and they see a pestilence. Believe them not, my friends. Their judgment is faulty because they are afraid.
Yes, we were afraid.
You see, people of Israel, they admit it.
You would be afraid, too, if you saw the giants of this land. They die but by halves. When half their body is dead, the other half doubles itself and replaces it.
Their legs are higher than mountains. Their arms are longer than rivers.
We look like grasshoppers in their sight.
Of course you did, because you act like grasshoppers. We've beaten similar men in battle before, and we can do it again. Have I not already led you against the Amaleks? They ran before you as the wind over the plains.
Oh, Joshua speaks again. Of course he speaks the way he does. He is a man of war, and he desires war. What are our sons to him? He had those sons he cares for.
Let us settle down, please. Please.
It appears that we have heard two conflicting reports from the group that was sent.
But surely you are not to weigh each equally, Moses, our teacher and guide. We are 10. Joshua is 1. We are the majority, the overwhelming majority.
And the majority is more likely to be right.
Many heads are better than one.
If every person is to count equally, then it follows that a numerical majority should count more.
And this is not a report from strangers. It's from your brothers, your trusted advisors.
It is our considered judgment, based on our first-hand observations, that Canaan is an evil place. That we will all surely die there if we attempt to possess the land, and that we should turn our backs on it and return to Egypt. These are the facts.
10-1. It does appear that your point of view has the majority. But there is still one more to be heard from. Caleb.
Oh, he agrees with us, the princes of Israel. Isn't that so, Caleb?
Speak, Caleb. You were sent on this mission to report, and it is your duty to do so.
Moses, perhaps the boy is not mature enough to make a valid judgment.
It is true. I am young, and I do not have the experience in the background of the others. Still, I must say that although I walk the same land as the 10, It is as if we surveyed two different lands.
Ignore him. The grapes he ate must have addled his brain.
No, no, no. My mind is clear. I saw the land. The land is good. It is indeed the promised land of our fathers, the eternal inheritance of Abraham's seed.
10-2, the majority of the land is
good. Wait. It is up to the people to decide which report they will accept. However, I must remind you that a minority report should not be dismissed because a small number support it. The minority has its truths as well as the majority. All I ask is that you weigh the facts tonight and make your verdict known in the morning.
Caleb, I think you've really started to grow up.
Joshua, I only told what I saw.
You did well, boy.
But why did the others distort the picture?
Oh, the walled cities had its effect. Also, they're worried that in the promised land they'll lose their prestige and position. They're timid men, fearful men. They only want to live in the past. The future disturbs and puzzles them. That is why their vision is faulty. And you know, they probably believe that what they reported was true. But whenever facts are presented, it's essential to examine those who offer the facts, as well as the information itself.
But surely the people will do so. Surely the people will not support them, even if they were in the majority. Surely the people will not be blinded to reality. Joshua, you smile. Did I say something amusing?
All right, Caleb. We'll see what the people will say.
Yes, I thought confidently. The people will bear us out. I had confidence in the people's judgment. That night I walked through the tents to hear their deliberations. It was the weirdest sight I had ever seen. The people were caught up in a wild frenzy, and the 10 princes of Israel were leading them on.
Your sons and daughters will be eaten by giants.
The land is as barren as a desert.
Our cities are ringed by walls as high as the heaven.
Woe to the sons and daughters of Israel.
Turn away from this poisonous land.
Back to Egypt. It is better to serve the Egyptians than to die in the promised land.
I walked through the encampment dazed by what I saw. The lamentations and tremblings of the tribes rent the heavens with wails of despair. There was not the least doubt in my mind. The people were supporting the false report of the 10 spies. That night they danced the terrible dance of the hysterical and the fearful and the